This podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. Go to bigheadsmedia.com for more great podcasts.
Der Fußball ist zurück in der zweiten Liga.
Rechte Neckfahne mit dem linken Fuß. Bringt den Ball auf den zweiten Pfosten. Tische! Tor! 1:0 für den VfL Bochum.
Da draußen ist der Ball frei. Und jetzt ist er drin. Jetzt ist er drin. Und hier ist Potzen, macht das Tor.
Der zählt das 2:2. Drist ist wieder da. Röser ist da.
Für Rausch. Der setzt an zur Flanke. Da kommt der Ball. Tor, 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 Tor,
Tor, Tor, Tor. Hello and welcome to the Zweite Bundesliga podcast for the last time in 2019. 18 match days of the 2019-20 season are gone. And we now enter the phase of the winter break. About a month of no Zweite Bundesliga football as the players, for at least this week anyway, kick back and relax and enjoy the festive season, of course. Tomorrow, as the time of recording this, is Christmas in most parts of the world. Some choose to celebrate it on the 24th, but that is how certain countries like to roll. But who's to say who's wrong in this situation? A celebration which, of course, brings family together, much eating, and, of course, much discussion. On today's episode, we will discuss all things Match Day 18, have a little bit of a chinwag about all of 2019, and answer your topic questions to help me get through this festive package of football. It will be Alex Howe, of course, our wonderful Ingolstadt fan who makes his return for the second consecutive week. Alex, how are you doing today?
I'm very well, thank you.
Fantastic. And of course, you would be after Ingolstadt's 5-1 win over Karl-Jais Jena. And of course, we welcome back. It's been a while, but we always love having her back on for literally any episode. Eva Lottieboll. Eva, welcome back. Of course, it's not the best circumstances to return, but it's good to have you back anyway.
Thank you. I'm glad to be back. And Merry Christmas to everyone who celebrates Christmas in the proper way on the 24th. Just wanted to say that.
We're off to a great start here, as you can tell. But we're all in the festive spirit, even if results go a certain way. I guess we should get on with the action from Match Day 18, and we start with Hannover and Stuttgart. This game ended 2-2 apiece. Marvin Ducksch opened the scoring on 13 minutes after they pounced on some really good pressing from Hannover, forced the mistake from Waturi Endo, and Ducksch getting the goal. But immediately after the halftime interval, Nicolas Gonzalez made it 1-1. Silas with a well-taken goal to make it 2-1. And then Edgar Pribb's excellent goal to beat Fabian Bredlow leveled the scores and ensured that both sides left with the points. Eva, I'm going to start with you. Of course, the news came yesterday that Tim Walter has been axed as head coach. He's the 8th one to bite the dust this season. And I think in the grand scheme of things, the performance they produced on the weekend is exactly the reason as to why they needed to make a change.
Yeah, I think especially in the first half, you could see that the flexibility that Walter wants from his team or expects from his teams in general was not being produced by the team. Like, you, especially with the first 15 minutes, I think Mavi Ducksch had two huge chances, and when he converted, and you could see that everyone from midfield to the defense was completely lost. It was better in the second half when Nicolas Gonzalez came on, but in general, Stuttgart is underachieving for weeks now. And I think you could see very early that someone coming in like Walter with a completely new way of playing just isn't the right man for Stuttgart.
Yeah, as the season has gone on, it became a bit more apparent that the two didn't match. Even though, not denying that the squad at this level should probably be a lot better in terms of performance. This is amazing when you consider they're sitting in third place, but it's the way they've gone about certain games which has been ultra concerning, especially on their travels. Alex, I guess we'll move on to talk about a little bit about Hanover, a game where they were fantastic in the first half, but they allowed Stuttgart to gain control of the contest in the second half, and as a result, they were probably a little fortunate, but also a bit unlucky not to actually win this game.
Yeah, I think this one really sums up why Hanover are where they are in the table. You mentioned the pressing for the first goal, and definitely at times they really, Kenan Kocak's team really did, you know, enforce themselves on the game. But then at the same time, like you mentioned in the second half, they did get done a bit tactically for both goals. Both goals came in the gaps between the outside defenders and the wing backs. So I think it just sums up a bit how Hanover have been a bit disappointing throughout this. Well, very disappointing throughout the first half of the season. But ultimately, when you're up against Stuttgart, one of the high flyers, you would probably settle for a point, considering that they've been largely poor throughout the first half of the season.
Without a doubt. We'll move on to our next game, which was a fourth versus fifth showdown between Heidenheim and Osnabrück. And much like the results the first time they met, it was Heidenheim who took a 3-1 win. Robert Leipertz opened the scoring on 21 minutes. Tim Kleinitz made it 2 on 66. Osnabrück made it interesting 15 minutes from time through Brian Henning. However, the task was made a bit more difficult when Ulrich Taffertoffer was sent off for his second bookable offence, and then Tim Kleinitz made it 3. A really good performance from Heidenheim, who especially in the first half, Alex, had full control of the game, and you know, even though the result was 3-1, they could have easily won by more.
Yeah, that's correct, and I mean, they never really looked in danger in this one, although Osnabrück did pull one back. But I think this game, if anything, is just sums up why Heidenheim have been so successful over their course of tenure in the Zweite Liga. You know, you have astute signings. So for the first goal, it was a great combination by Kirschbaumer to Robert Leipertz. You know, these are people that they've picked up on the cheap or been cast away from other teams. But then also, they have that core base of a team that's been there for a long period of time. Obviously, in this example, it's Tim Kleindienst with the two goals that he scored. He's seventh of the season, and he's really helped to replace the likes of Robert Glatzel and Nicola Dovedan when they've left the club. So, in essence, this game just proves why Heidenheim have been so successful, and they look set to, if anything, push for the best ever finish in the second half of the season.
Yeah, they are very much in the mix to challenge the likes of Hamburg and Stuttgart. They're only a point behind in that category. Ivo, I guess we'll talk about Osnabrück, who were largely disappointing in this game. But in the grand scheme of things, they sit sixth heading into the winter break. And I think if you were to ask any Osnabrück fan, or Daniel Thuyn for that matter, they would be very much pleased with the outcome so far this season.
Well, I think nobody really expected them to play that well throughout the season. But yeah, as we mentioned before, they are overachieving at the moment. They came off from 8 unbeaten games in a row. So, of course, it's always bad to end a football year with a defeat. But I think if you look at the whole season, if you look at Osnabrück's direct contestants, it's a really good season they played so far. I do really like Daniel Thuyn's way of playing. I think it's really, really cool how he always finds a way to surprise other teams. I mean, they won against Stuttgart and HSV, and that doesn't come from nowhere. They lost against Arminia and Heidenheim, so they're not totally balanced in that way, but that was the first game they were really, I don't want to say bad, but they weren't as concentrated as they were in their normal games.
Yeah, I mean, they certainly are a lot better or a harder opponent when they're playing at home, and those results that you've mentioned have come at home this season.
Yeah, I think overall they'd be absolutely thrilled to be in sixth place, a couple of points off the playoffs / second place. They play some fantastic football. Their home form has been very reminiscent of what Union Berlin did last season. Very hard place to play. Not that it's not impossible to get a result, as Armenia Bielefeld proved, but yeah, they've got something cooking over there, and Daniel Thune is doing a fantastic job, and very much a candidate for that Coach of the Year honour going forward. We'll move on then to probably, if not the shock result of the match day, St. Pauli 3, Armenia Bielefeld 0. A brace for Henk Veerman in the first half. Victor Gyökeres got the third goal, and I think you look at this game and you look at the balance of everything, and it's pretty confusing how this happened when you consider how unbelievably elite Bielefeld have been away from home. So, Ivor, I guess then maybe you can tell us what on earth went wrong.
Well, to start off, my take on this game, I'm very happy I didn't see a lot of it because I was in the sun for 90 minutes. I actually managed to get a slight sunburn 3 days before Christmas in December. But I think you could see very early, even before the goal, that this wasn't the day we going to win on the Millantal the first time in 9 years. We spoke about it off recording, actually, that all the three goals were more or less the same. It was horrible defending, especially from the right and left back sides. I have the feeling the minute I say something good about Florian Hartes the next week, he's just like, nah, I'm not good. He was horrible, as well as I didn't really understand Neuer's substitutions. Jabo was no good at all. Zuku brought a bit of energy into the game, but nothing really essential for the game. The only substitutions that I really did like was actually Alex Perez when he came on. He showed some really decent defending. I like to see more often, and I also like to see Anderson Nkoki back because I really don't know. He has to be so bad in training, otherwise I don't get why Hartes is on the pitch every damn weekend.
Yeah, it almost, the thing is, the result almost, and I will say the word almost, puts a damper on what has been an incredible 2019 for Armenia Bielefeld. Top of the Zweite Bundesliga, 3 points clear of Hamburg and Stuttgart. Only lost once away, and that happened on the weekend. They've been fantastic throughout. The break probably comes at a good time for them. Reset. Okay, it's the first time this season that they've had two consecutive games without scoring. I think they could use it. Alex, I guess with St. Pauli, massive result for them. And they were one of the big winners of Match Day 18. They get themselves out of 15th and up to 11th. And whether you're anti-Jos or 100% in on him as a manager, that result has certainly bought him a bit more time.
Yeah. And I think we've seen a pattern developing in the past few weeks. That Luka Karadžić changed the tactics of his team a bit. They've gone a lot more, they are more direct in their style of play. But if anything, that just proves that it's all well and good playing nice football at times, but if your strengths suit something else, then that is what you should do. And with St. Pauli, you have Henk Veerman, one of the best target men in the entire Zweite Liga, then you will have success playing this way. He has four since he came back from injury at the end of November, and three of those have come in his last two games. And it was his dominance in attack that really gave St. Pauli the chance to win at the weekend. Alongside that, however, Gyökeres has been a great find for them on loan from Brighton. It just proves that St. Pauli's links in the UK have served them well. He has 5 goals for the season now. And 3 of them, like Veerman, have come in the last 2 games. So he, you know, his direct attacking play suits this new tactical change by Luhukay, this new direct play. And if they can keep Veerman and Gyökeres firing in the second half of the season, then I think Sampdoria can hopefully push up the table for them. I mean, the Milan tour has been so important for them. 17 of their 21 points have actually come there. So if they can improve on the road, then I think there is a chance that they can push up the rankings.
It will be interesting. We will watch with interest. We'll take our first break, and on the other side, we'll start with our Group 2 games with Darmstadt and Hamburg. A massive game for both sides heading into match day 18, with Hamburg having the opportunity to go 1 point behind Arminia Bielefeld heading into the winter break. Darmstadt looked to differentiate themselves from that bottom six tier, but neither side was able to take away the 3 points, with the points being shared with 2 goals apiece, the final score. Lucas Hinterseer opened the scoring on 18 minutes, Serdar Dursun equalised on 32. But Bakary Yatta made it 2-1 for Hamburg just on half-time. Once again, Serdar Dursun equalised to make it 2 goals apiece. Rick van Drongelen thought he'd won the game late on, but his goal was disallowed for offside with the use of the video assistant referee. Alex, this is a game which Hamburg had the opportunities to put away, but once again they were made to pay for their inabilities to convert their chances.
Yeah, I feel like we talk about their issues on the road, and of course they have had issues. But on Saturday, should I say, I don't really think it was down to any, you know, tactical ineptness or anything like that. It was simply down to sloppy errors. You know, Daniel Hoyer Fernandez should have done better for Darmstadt second. He should have pushed the ball further away from goal. And that's something for Dieter Hecking that you can't really account for. They did look good going forward and created a number of chances. But the away form is a long-term problem. That's only 5 away wins since late December 2018. And a lot of those came early in the year. And it seems since Titz left the club, the style has been quite safe, should I say, in inverted commas, which has left them susceptible to draw when they don't take the chances. Regarding Van Drongelen's goal, I mean, I have sympathy with the referee Arne Arning for this one, because Yatta is interfering with play. And I think it's more an issue with the laws of the game rather than VAR or the referee in this instance.
Yeah, I tend to agree. And it's the unfortunate part of the video assistant referee, the whole thing, is that the referee is only enacting on the laws of the game. And, of course, when a decision is made, it is the referee who has to take the brunt of the blame. But no one seems to ever question, well, those who do rightfully question the actual laws of the game. Whereas I think it's easy, or it becomes sort of lazy journalism where they just decide to report on, oh, well, the referee got this wrong. So, well, actually, dig a little bit deeper and you'll notice that it's actually the laws of the game that should probably get amended rather than blaming the referee when it seems too easy. Eva, this is another solid result for Darmstadt, who have been slowly, and I mean slowly, building a sort of a resistance after a really poor start of the season. And once again, it's Dursun who came up trumps being in the right place at the right time.
So, yeah, I think Dursun was really the player that made a difference for Darmstadt in that game. He was a couple of times already in the season. I think that, Darmstadt isn't really in the place where they should be at the moment. I think they can do better. I have the feeling they're a bit underachieving this season. And in the end, it was a deserved draw. Although, coming back to the VAR decision, I can understand the Hamburg fans in some points, because I think because Anna Anning gives the goal, and then you can't really see in the in the images afterwards in what way Jatta is actually interfering with Drongeling in the goal scene. And actually you can hear Hacking saying, yeah, why do we have this shit anyway, more or less. So yeah, I can understand both sides. It's not a completely wrong decision, but I can understand if some people don't really see that giving the goal in the first place was a completely wrong decision as well.
Yeah, it's not a perfect system, and it'll always have that sort of lingering self-doubt in a lot of people's minds. And all they can do is just continue to amend and hope that it will improve as we go forward. A team that has been a bit of an underachiever throughout this season has been Bochum. They look to secure their first win against Jan Regensburg at home, which they'd never done in their prior meetings. But once again, it was Jan who took all 3 points in this one with a 3-2 win. Sebastian Stolzer was the man of the match in this one with his 2 goals. And even despite the fact that Jan went down to 10 men, it wasn't much of an issue as they pushed aside a Bochum side who really never got going. Eva, it's fair to say that Bochum defensively in this game were utterly atrocious, and as a result they gave up 3 goals that could have been easily avoidable.
Yeah, I think especially the second one, I think they're trying to build a kind of an offside trap, but still you have to secure that that trap can go wrong. And the Jan players, I think it was Stolze and Albers up front or in front of Riemann, they could have done anything that would have been a goal anyway. So yeah, I think I want to say that Bochum started very good. I think the first 5 to 10 minutes were really cool, good, and offensively very powerful. But yeah, I think very often this season already, Bochum's defense is just not working very well. And although Riemann was a very good goalkeeper this season, he can't even deal with if his whole defense is just stopped running towards other players. I think Bochum could have leveled last minute. I think Osei Tutu had that really, really good chance, like 8 meters in front of the goal. But in that moment, I think the self-confidence is really missing from this team. I do hope they just need some new signings or just some loans in the winter break, because otherwise it's going to be really, really hard to not really get into that relegation scrap and fight.
Yeah, they need to definitely shore up the defense. I think one person who comes to mind, and I'm quite certain that the Bochum faith would be more than happy to have him back, would be Felix Bastians. His contract runs out in China at the end of that season. And but surely he would be more than happy to come back. But from what has been publicised, that they're not interested in bringing him back, which sounds absolutely ludicrous, because he would far and away make that defence a lot better than what it has been this season. Alex, Jan have been a bit of a weird fish to kind of understand, but another really good result for them keeps them in 7th heading into the break, and it's fair to say that they've been another team that has overachieved once again this season.
Yeah, in many ways, Regensburg are becoming the new Heidenheim, so to speak, in that they consistently replace the better players that leave them and find cheap gems or steals from other clubs. So one example who has impressed me this season is Chima Okorodji at left back. He had a great game on at weekend against Bochum, and on loan from Freiburg with the potential that he could move there. So I think it just sums up again how well managed they are, But also, the result of the weekend just showed how clinical they are. Stolz with his two goals, and Alba, they took the chances when they came their way, and of course Bochum provided them, but that's all you can do as an attacking force. And when you can be so clinical in front of goal and take three goals away, then you always give yourself a good chance of picking up an away victory. I want to call you the sage, Matthew, because I will quote you from last week. This is the sort of game that Bochum will lose, and that has come true.
It was foretold in the prophecy, some would say. Let's move on, and then it was a Christmas miracle, wasn't it? For some. Let's move on to Auer, who hosted Greuther Fürth. As was foretold in the prophecy last week, both Alex and I expected an Erzgebirge Auer win, and they surely delivered with quite convincing fashion. Goals from Jan Holschardt, Dmitry Nazarov, and Florian Kruger made it 3-0. Branimir Hrgota with a consolation for the travelling contingent who made it the journey all the way to Saxony. Really, there's probably a few superlatives you could use, Alex, for their performance. Ruthless, clinical, and just really good in front of the home faithful.
More so than just the weekend performance. I think that sums up the entire season, really. They're not necessarily a team that's always pleasing on the eye, but they are always clinical and take the chances when they come the way and make it hard for other teams to play at the Erzgebirgstadion. And that's because Dirk Schuster has got them doing the basics so, so well. So, for example, with Hotscheid's goal, they were first to react to a rebound. The third defenders were left napping. But I also think Florian Krug has been a great pickup for them. He arrives from Schalke in 2018, but it's this season that he's really come into his own with four goals. And it perhaps shows that that Tedesco's legacy is still living on at Auer a few years on. I just want to touch on Firth, though, quickly, because it proves that they're a Jekyll and Hyde team. And one instance that sums that up was Jekyll's lethargic challenge on Florian Kruger for the penalty. And this is a great play on words. If anyone knows the terminology Jekyll and Hyde, you could perhaps say that they were a Jekyll and Hyde team. Oh, I was planning that joke for like weeks.
Oh my god, it's like the most dad joke kind of operation ever. But I see what you're going for, play of words. Don't, we respect. We pay respect. Eva, I guess, continuing on with Fürth, it's been an okay first half of the season for them. They sit in mid-table in the top half of the standings. I think we can touch on Branimir Hrgota, who's really been a good signing for them. I think it's 8 or 9 goals since arriving from Eintracht Frankfurt. But it is proving once again that they are relying heavily on one striker to get all their goals.
Yeah, I wanted to say that as well. I think as soon as he doesn't really find a way to do what he does, for Fürth it's really difficult to score. Anyway, if you compare it to Auer in this game, they have 3 different goal scorers. And yeah, Fürth, I think some fans might be disappointed how the way they started into the season. Nobody really expected them to be that high up in the table. But I think very quickly you could see that Fürth couldn't really handle it. And I want to say they're in the right place in the table, actually. I think they will end up somewhere there. I don't think they're really going down any more further, but I don't see them much more up the table as well. Also, I wanted to say, if any of you saw Helge Leonard and his protege, they did look like the guys from the movie The Godfather, if we are into the movie business.
Yes, there was a real mob mentality kind of look about it. It was... I'll save the impressions for another day because we don't need that kind of thing. But yeah, no, I agreed. It was quite humorous actually when they cut away to him. We'll take another break, and on the other side, we'll get to our Group 3 games. A massive relegation six-pointer, Nürnberg and Dynamo Dresden.
Hello, this is Matt.
Jose.
Mark.
Guillaume.
James.
Mel.
Zach.
This is David.
Terrier.
We are PSG Talking. There is no other team like Paris Saint-Germain, and there's no other podcast in English talking about it. Check us out on iTunes, Spotify, on our blog, psgtalk.com, and or on our YouTube channel. We'll talk to you soon.
A huge game in the context of the season for both sides who seeked victory for the first time in quite some time. Nürnberg was seeking a home win for the first time under Jens Keller. In fact, it would be his first win if they were to have got up. Whilst Dynamo Dresden were in the midst of a new manager bounce, or hopeful anyway, with Marcus Kaczynski managing his second game since the axing of Christian Fiel. However, it was Nürnberg who got the vital 3 points, and it was a fantastic performance from Robin Hack. His two goals giving Der Klub a vital win heading into the winter break. Eva, this was a game which Nürnberg so desperately needed when you consider that, you know, it was, I think, his fifth game in charge, Jens Keller, without win, and it would have been a real disaster heading into the break, but a really good performance and a much-needed win at a much-needed time.
Yeah, I think you could see it from the beginning that Nürnberg was really keen to get their first win since the end of September, actually. I think they started off very well. The goal was a bit weird, though. I think you could see it that Hack didn't really believe that it went in. But I think compared to other games where they took the lead and botted it in the end, they were more concentrated until the last minute. Dresden didn't really offer anything except, I think, at the beginning of the second half, Kone had a really good chance to get one back for them. But in the end, it was Nürnberg would not have taken anything else than 3 points out of it. It would have been a disaster. I want to say it like that.
Yeah, it was vital for them. It doesn't change their predicament. They remain in 16th. 2 points ahead of Wiesbaden, but they edge closer to teams like Karlsruhe, Darmstadt, Hannover, Bochum. So it was just needed, because heading into the break and you have that change of manager and he's winless in that period, then you start to second guess whether he was the right man. And I'm sure Ingolstadt know full well from last season the problems that they faced under Keller, Alexander Nuri, as well. So then, Alex, I guess we'll talk about Dresden then. Two games with Kaczynski, known for being a more defensive coach. They've conceded 5 goals in those two games and they're yet to score. The problems that they've had all season continue, even with the slight change of management.
Yeah, it hasn't been a good start, and I feel quite well placed to talk about Kaczynski too, obviously, another former Ingolstadt manager. And yet the defence hasn't been good. The best thing at the weekend's game for Dresden was the fact that Kevin Broll had to wear an outfield player's shirt, and that's saying something to show how bad they actually were. They did have a good chance. Muscone led a good counter-attack and was unfortunate to see his effort not go in, but they were second best throughout. I think it's hard for them to consistently replace the likes of Niklas Hoppmann, Marcus Schubert, exceptionally every season. They don't have a big budget, and so when they lose those good players, it is hard to replace them consistently. But the major problem has to be defence. They've conceded 34 in the Hinrunde, and only Karlsruhe and Wiesbaden have let in more. We talked about this last week after the Osnabrück defeat. And for both goals, it was poor defending, particularly the second. Yannick Müller got it all wrong. He marked Michael Frey instead of the unmarked Hack. We mentioned that the winter break comes at a good time for Armenia. I think it probably also comes at a good time for Dresden too. They've got a month or two now to really regroup had some time off, look at what they've done wrong, and come back at it with a new approach in the new year. Having said that, it doesn't look good for them. The six points adrift, even the relegation playoff spot. And in recent history, this is ominous, because if we look at last season, it was the exact bottom three at Christmas that went down ultimately. And in that context, you had teams like Ingolstadt who were only in the bottom three on goal difference. So the fact that Dresden are 6 points adrift is particularly ominous for them.
It is. We'll move on from them and we'll move to a bit of a more mid-table affair. Sandhausen and Holstein Kiel. Game ended 2 goals apiece. Salih Özcan opened the scoring. Of course, the loanee from FC Köln. And then in the second half, Sandhausen hit the floodgates. 2 goals in the space of a minute through Mario Engels and Bessar Halimi. Gave Sandhausen a lead which, you know, was in some ways fortuitous. They took advantage of mistakes from Kiel playing out from the back, but they couldn't hold on. Emmanuel Jor continuing his recent good form to give Kiel a share of the spoils. And I think, Alex, the grand scheme of things, it was probably a fair result. And I don't think either side would be too disappointed.
No, I think this game summed up what both teams have been about this season, really. Sandhausen took the chances when they came to him. Whilst Kiel, like we've seen, Ioya, Özcan and the likes of Yanni Serra continue to be important for them. So I think, yeah, both teams will be happy with a point, really. But I will say the Özcan goal was quite uncharacteristic for Sandhausen. It was only a simple ball into the back post, and Martin Freisel sort of channeled his inner David De Gea to let that one in.
I may have put the mocker on him, because when I spoke about the Hamburg-Sandhausen game the week before, I spoke about how he's been a real diamond in the rough, fine, playing in the Romanian first tier before joining Sandhausen. He's been really good for them between the sticks, and the kicker ratings have him in the top five Torvort for a reason. It's a tough position to play, and as can be seen, when a keeper makes a mistake, it's very hard to come back from them. Either, I think we'll look at Kiel for a little bit here. Their lone players have been slowly making a difference under Oli Werner. What's impressed you with the change in management with Oli Werner? And do you reckon that they are set up to make a little bit of a push going into the Rückrunde and 2020?
Well, I think a lot of us thought at the beginning of the season that they will not overachieve as they did last year. I think we're right in some ways, but they're still not bad. I think they were just, sometimes they just lose it a bit, but I think they will achieve as they did so far this season as well in the Rückrunde. I see them somewhere between the places 5 and 10, I want to say. I think that's realistic. Going forward, anything above would be a huge surprise, and I don't really see that happening.
Yeah, I think where they are at the moment seems probably the most likeliest, which, you know, I think realistically you'd probably take considering the poor start with Andre Schubert, but then again, that could have been averted if they had not hired him in the first place. Our last game to review of 2019, and it happens to be Karlsruhe and VfL Wiesbaden. Now, at the from last week's episode, Alex and I were on different ends of the spectrum. I picked Karlsruhe, he picked VfL Wiesbaden, and it was VfL who did Alex all sorts of favours. It was a Torlis Knoll goal on 69 minutes to give VfL all 3 points. It keeps them 2 points behind Nürnberg in the relegation playoff spot. It also means that Karlsruhe drop all the way down to 15th and are very much in the mix for that. So I guess, Ivo, I'm going to start with you. We talk about teams that have a main guy scoring their goals. You could look at Wiesbaden, for example. Schaefer has 12 goals this season. He was an out in this game, and you question who's going to be the guy that comes up, and it happens to be the youngster who's on loan from Nürnberg, who really showed his quality when it was needed.
Yeah, well, I think Wien is a kind of a surprise team this season, although they're very at the bottom where we expected them. Don't get me wrong. They have games where they completely show a different kind of angle. And for them, it was a really clinical win. They have good players. I think you can't say anything against it. But I have the feeling that sometimes it's not working as a team. They were kind of dependent on Schaeffler, so it's good that they have some other players that score as well. But still, I think they need some new signings in the winter to actually challenge the contestants that are with them in those bottom five.
Indeed. Alex, I guess I'll give you the pleasure of talking about Karlsruhe. A team that lacked all sorts of cutting edge, they had an abundance of chances, only managed two shots on target throughout. A team that just really could not get it together against a side that they theoretically, especially when you consider their poor defensive record, team that they should have rolled over, but once again, just a very inconsistent display, and they were made to pay for it.
Yeah, they were very turgid in offence, really. They only really looked likely to score from set pieces. In fact, the best chance I can remember was Damien Rösbach's header that was well saved on a stroke of half time. Rösbach, the man who the commentator called the man with the helmet. Benjamin Uphoff again, we mentioned it last week. He made it harder for Turley's Noel to miss than score. And it's hard for all of our shots, Schwartz, to account for. I mean, we can talk about how they were the poor going forward, but apart from that real error from Uphoff, they didn't really look like they concede either. So again, I think it just shows the fine margins throughout the league.
Yeah, it is a very much a low margin for error league, and as we've seen so many times this season, you can be made to pay for it. And on this occasion, Karlsruhe were made to pay for their sins. We'll take our final break, and on the other side, we'll discuss the topic question, and we have a little bibs and bobs that we're going to talk about before we conclude the program. So don't go anywhere. The final section of our final podcast for 2019 brings us to the topic questions and a little bit of extras before we conclude for this decade. Crazy to think that in a few days' time, 2020 will be upon us. But until then, we still have a few loose ends to tidy up before we can head full steam ahead into 2020. So our topic question for today is from Steel Penguin at Steel Penguin 3. It says, hello everybody, hope you all have a happy holiday season. What teams do you think can challenge the top four or five teams at the top of the table? Eva, I'm going to start with you. I know we were discussing this off air. It's quite tricky considering how tight the mid-table is, but do you think there's a team that maybe stands out that could contest going forward?
It's really difficult for me to answer. As you said, we spoke about it earlier, and for me, I think that with Heidenheim, you have someone that will more or less defend that fourth spot in the table. The rest of the teams on the likes of Aue, Osnabrück, I'd say Kiel and Sandhausen, those four, I think they will stay where they are more or less. They will change sometimes and somehow in the Rückrunde, but I don't really think that any team of those four can really challenge the top four in a way that they really come so close to the first two places or so that they will stay there for a period of time.
Yeah, I think each of those teams that are sort of in and around those positions, you could make a case for and against. I think if Osnabrück were allowed to play every game at the Bremer Brücke, then I'm incredibly confident that that'd be that team. Their away form is quite concerning. They're probably, for me anyway, the closest. Jan on their day can be amongst it. Furt, at times deficient going forward. Do you trust Sandhausen? Probably not. So for probably me, if I had to pick someone, it would probably be Osnabrück. I'm not confident with Auer, even though they continue to pick up results. Alex, what do you reckon?
Oh, definitely Dresden. but in all seriousness, yeah, I have to echo the sentiments of both of you guys. I don't think any of the teams are particularly likely to push on. That said, I did make the point off air that if Bochum have lost 14 points from winning position, and if you add those 14 points on, they're actually joint top, so anything's possible in this league.
Absolutely. Now to the sort of the loose ends that we want to talk about. And we were discussing what to sort of end the program on, and we've gone with three topics. We're going to discuss the manager of the Hinrunde, our player of the Hinrunde, and something a bit more personal, our favourite match that we've seen from 2019. It doesn't have to be particularly Zweite Bundesliga related. However, just any game that sort of you'll remember from this calendar year. And we'll start off with the manager of the Hinrunde. Alex, I'm going to let you go first. From the 17, and we can add the plus one with 18 from last week. Who has been the manager that has impressed you and is worthy of your support as the best manager this term?
Quick honourable mention to Tune. Osnabrück have done brilliantly, but so far this season, I would go for Dirk Schuster. They're in fifth place. It's a lot higher than anyone or any of us expected them to be. But they're also unbeaten at home since he took the job. And obviously, he came into a hard position as well. Both in terms of Daniel Meyer leaving after three wins from four, but then also in the fact that he'd struggled in a few jobs recently and people were beginning to question him as well. So he would have to be my one of the Hinrunde. But if consider it, seeing as though it's the end of the decade, let's say that Frank Schmidt at Heidenheim is the man of the decade as well.
Interesting. No, I'll back that one. Eva, what about you? I feel like it could be quite predictable, but enlighten us on your manager of the Hinrunde.
Well, I have to be a bit biased here. For me, it's actually Neuhaus, because I think not a lot of people actually expected us to continue the way we played at the beginning of 2019. And he found a way of doing that. Although there are sometimes choices I'm not quite content with, as you may know. I think he found a very, very good way to build up this team that he has, and always form players in a new way, on the likes of Jonathan Klaus, for example. Really, really good job what he did there, because Klaus came from the third tier in France, and that's what he does now. That's a huge difference. So I think he really does a good job here, and I hope it will be continued.
Yeah, there's probably three names that come to mind for me. Uwe Neuhaus, Daniel Thune, Frank Schmidt, as really, and honourable mention for Dirk Schuster, because he has done a fantastic job. I think I'll back Frank Schmidt only because every time we think Heidenheim are going to have a dip, they just continue to find a way. And that's kind of really been pretty much the Heidenheim this decade, since coming into the Zweite Bundesliga. They just find ways to get results. They lose players, they rebuild, and they go again. And that's a testament to him as a manager. And, I'm almost certain he would have had opportunities to go elsewhere, but the loyalty of the man, he's been at the club since 2003, and they are almost on the precipice of making their way to the Bundesliga. Though it may seem unlikely, they are making strides, and I think he's been very impressive, and I do echo the sentiments of Alex that he would be a very worthy shout of manager of the decade in the Zweite Bundesliga. Player of the Hinrunde. We deliberated this over a while, actually. There were many names rounded off. I'm sure we've all got someone different. Eva, who's your player of the Hinrunde?
So, I would say it's... I can't really pick it. Of course, for me, I would go with Fabian Klose, because I think for his age, what he still does, it's really, really good. And I think he plays the season of his life, as probably so far you can say that. But also, if you look beyond that and just look at players that surprises you, I would actually say, and I would never imagine was saying that, is Philipp Hoffmann. I remember when he came to Karlsruhe, Matthew and I were like, nah, what does Karlsruhe want with him? And week to week, he finds ways to score. And I think he's a huge, huge part of Karlsruhe's Rückrunde.
Yeah, he obviously listens to the podcast and knows that it's the pleasure of torturing either of us. Is what fuels his ambitions going forward. Alex, who's your player of the Hinrunde?
I would actually have to concur and go for Fabian Klose. Not only have his goals propelled Bielefeld to where they are, he has 5 assists too, so 18 goal contributions, you know, is a great number at this stage of the season. I would also like to mention, Dmitry Nazarov, I know we mentioned that the majority of his 7 goals have come from the penalty spot, but he has been one of the sort of talismans of this our team that have shot so many. And then also a special shout out for Sonny Kittel, 9 goals and 2 assists. For me, he's probably arguably the most talented player in the league, and I hope to see him move on to the Bundesliga with Hamburg or with another team in the near future.
He's Bundesliga caliber talent, and I think we've known that over the past couple of seasons. And yeah, he's I think if they don't go up this season, I know he's only been at Hamburg for this season, but teams like a Freiburg or a Mainz or even an Augsburg would certainly be paying attention. My player of the Hinrunde comes from a team inside the bottom 6. Someone who this club bought absolutely dirt cheap, £225,000 is all it cost Bochum to sign Danny Blum in the summer from Eintracht Frankfurt. And he has been a pivotal figurehead at the club. 6 goals and 9 assists this season. He's been really one of a few bright spots for Bochum. I know in attack they've been quite dangerous, and he's been a big part of that. And when you consider he was on loan at Las Palmas in Spain last season, to come into a Bochum situation where he's sort of been entrusted to create, he's done a fantastic job for them. And I think for me, he's worthy of my player of the Hinrunde. Our last topic that we're going to discuss is more, of course, personal. Favorite match of the year of 2019. This is again very subjective. We're not limiting to this to the Zweite Bundesliga. This is more just a personal flavor. And being that we've watched quite a lot of football altogether, I'm sure we'll come up with some different results. So, Alex, I'll let you have the floor first. What has been your favorite game of 2019?
I mean, it's hard to pinpoint just one, really, because on a personal level, it probably would have to be something like Manchester City's 3-1 victory, or 4-1 even, forgot a goal, victory away at Brighton on the last game of last season. To be there, you know, tickets for gold dust after such a stressful season was great. And so was my trip to Schalke as well. That was a great trip to watch this. But my favourite Zweite Liga game, because that's what we're all here for, of course, was the Bochum 3, Armenia, Bielefeld 3 game. It had everything, and it just shows why we all like the Zweite Liga. It was, you know, Bielefeld were 2-0 up, Bochum come back to be leading 3-2, only for a La Cia last-minute own goal in the 91st minute. So It had everything that attracts us all to this Vita League, and I think it was a fitting one to sum up what's been quite an exciting year and decade, of course, for the second Bundesliga.
Absolutely. Eva, I mean, there's plenty to choose from this year from a Bielefeld standpoint, but for you personally, what has been your favourite match of the calendar year?
It's really tough. So if we take one out of the season, it might even have been the derby win over Osnabrück. So I was in the stadium, so that's, first of all, that's really cool. And I remember everyone saying that we can't win this without Fabian Klose, and we did. And the whole atmosphere in the stadium, that was really cool. And also, if we look above the season, it's maybe the 2-0 home win against Paderborn, because it was the club's anniversary, and really cool choreo. That was really cool as well. And they played very well, and nobody really expected us to get a point out of the game. So, yes.
Interesting. I have three games that I've come up with. Two of them are Schalke-related, unsurprisingly. One being from the 2018-19 season, the 4-2 win at the Westfalenstadion against Borussia Dortmund, where we'd had such a bad year. And we basically killed off Dortmund's title hopes, which just seemed utterly fantastic. And it was the way we did it, just completely frustrating them. Maybe a little bit of help from an incompetent referee, but you take them. It was good to have a derby win, especially after the season that we'd had. The other one, now, it's not the result that I enjoyed. It was more or less the actual fanfare of the game. DFB Pokal, Schalke and Arminia Bielefeld. Yes, I know Schalke won, but in terms of the atmosphere, like, Bielefeld turned it on. Their fans were so fantastic, and they've been fantastic all year, but they made that cup tie unbelievable. And and part of me believes that it was because of them they got back into the game. A game which Schalke should never have let the 3-0 deficit make it 3-2 and the potential to go to extra time. And it was just the tension involved in it was palpable, and having the morning off work to be able to watch it was quite a joy, and you know, it was a fantastic cup tie. But Zweite Bundesliga related, I've gone with Paderborn and Köln from last season, as it was part of the calendar year, a game which ended 3-2 with Köln 2-0 up with 10 minutes to go. And the three goals in 12 minutes with Marlon Ritter's absolute belter winning the game. It just typified what the Zweite Bundesliga is about, really, where no game is won until the final whistle, really. And a team like Paderborn, who should have essentially been playing fourth tier football if it wasn't for 1860 Munich, put a team like Köln in their place, even when Köln thought they'd won the game. So that was quite the moment. And a game that I probably won't forget in quite some time, but yeah, that's it for 2019, a full calendar year of Zweite Bundesliga podcast. It's incredible. We've had an amazing year to be a part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network, to have our own merchandise, and to have all you lovely listeners to be a part of the ride. It's been a privilege for all of us, and we can't be more thankful to be put in a situation like this, and we really appreciate the support, and you know, to bring such a crazy league to the people in the English language, being the only ones to do so. We count ourselves very lucky in that regard that we were able to put this on. Alex, Eva, thank you for coming on Christmas Eve. I know it's a really tricky time. I appreciate you guys taking the time to come chat with me, so thank you very much.
Thanks for having us on.
Yes, Merry Christmas, everyone.
My pleasure. Yeah, let's sign off 2019 in the only way we know how, which is remembering the good moments of the Zweite Bundesliga and getting ready for 2020. So from all of us at the Zweite Bundesliga podcast, thank you. Have a Merry Christmas. Have a safe holiday. Happy New Year. And we'll see you in 2020. Thank you very much. Goodbye.